Welcome to episode 17 of Mancy, a podcast about magic and the fucked up shit people did with it. I'm RJ Walker. I'm a spoken word artist and writer. With me is my co-host, Elle.
I'm Elle Alder. I'm a professional psychic and a solitary eclectic witch.
Last week, we spoke about how music is used to heal and how music is used for torture, most notably by the United States government. We went over how Benjamin Franklin invented a cursed glass harmonica instrument, and we discussed the king of the Delta blues, Robert Johnson. Legend has it that he went down to a crossroads and sold his soul to the devil for blues fame. In reality, he didn't learn blues from the devil. He learned it from Zimmerman of Hazelhurst and spent years practicing with him in graveyards where they wouldn't be disturbed. Of course, there is more to say about those crossroads and more to the legend of Robert Johnson. After, Elle is going to do some shufflemancy, a rhapsodomancy divination that involves shuffling through the songs on a playlist. Elle will be doing flash readings using people's Spotify 2020 Wrapped playlists.
Yay.
As I mentioned in part one, many folklorists believe that Robert Johnson actually made a deal with African trickster god Legba, and the demonization of African beliefs by white Christians and the trope of the Faustian bargain is what made the Christian devil appear in the legend. In the areas of Benin, Nigeria, and Togo, Legba is a virile trickster god and is depicted with horns, thus the simple demonization of turning him into the devil. Paba Legba is a loa, am I saying that right?
Yeah, sure.
A loa in Haitian voodoo and offers guidance at the spiritual crossroads. Paba Legba facilitates communication and understanding.
Paba Legba and Olegwa are two different orishas. And I think you're talking about Olegwa, not Paba Legba.
Oh, I was taking this off of Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're saying the wrong deity, the wrong orisha. Like, okay. Look up Olegwa online on Google.
Let's see, the Google for Olegwa is a orisha, a deity of Rhodes in the religions of Santeria. Maybe Wikipedia needs a little update, but it is closed religion. So the internet could very well be wrong.
Yeah, the internet's wrong, but that's okay. It's fine.
In any case, the legend became infamous, especially after Johnson's 1936 song, Crossroads Blues, became a hit. Of course, there would be people who want to play the infamous song by the king of the Delta blues after the legend that, you know, he got his blues fame from a crossroads deal. Of course, they would want to cover it. And of course, they would want to steal the sound that made the song special. And to this day, it's one of the most covered songs of all time. However, there may be a curse associated with playing it. In 1938... at just 27 years old, Robert Johnson vanished from the public eye. It wasn't until 30 years later that a death certificate would be tracked down by musicologists. The case of Robert Johnson's death is objectively unknown, as well as the site of his grave, but the death certificate did confirm that he died in 1938 at 27 years old. They also uncovered legends surrounding Robert Johnson's death that are just kind of like oral stories. It is said that Johnson's Faustian bargain came with the added perk of him being smooth with the ladies. It is said that he could get any woman he wanted, and it was as if he put them under a spell. While he was probably just a really charismatic dude, believers in the legends say that the devil gave him this extra perk as a way to set him up for his own death. Dun, dun, dun. Accounts differ, but one from fellow blues musician Sonny Boy Williamson states that Robert Johnson was poisoned. Johnson played a country dance about 15 miles from Greenwood, Mississippi, and after his set, he began flirting with a married woman. Her husband saw this and was none too pleased, so he put poison in a bottle of whiskey and told his wife to give it to the musician who thought of her so fondly. Johnson took the bottle, but Sonny Boy Williamson slapped it out of his hand, kapah, and told him that you should never drink from a bottle that you had not personally opened yourself. To which Robert Johnson replied, "Don't ever knock a bottle out of my hand." And the woman offered him another bottle, which was also poisoned. As the poison took effect, Johnson needed help back to his room in the early hours of the morning. They figured he was just, you know, really drunk. But then he started to show, like, serious symptoms. It took the poison 3 days to kill Robert Johnson. He would have fits of convulsions, and blood would seep from his eyes and mouth. At this time, while Robert Johnson was dying in agony, the owner of the plantation on which he was staying, where the dance occurred, refused to call a doctor for him. His reasoning being, "Well, he doesn't work for me, so I see no reason to call a doctor for him." There was no official cause of death listed on the certificate. All there were stories. To many, the excruciating pain Johnson was in for his last moments served to back up the claim that he had sold his soul to the devil for blues fame, and the devil had come to collect. Even as Robert Johnson died, his music would live on. Of course, people would want to cover the music of this legendary musician, especially the song Crossroads Blues, which was so tied to his legend. The first group to cover the song and gain significant commercial success off of it is the band Cream, fronted by rock and roll legend and also noted racist Eric Clapton. And quick tangent. Fuck Eric Clapton's racist ass. Fuck him. Fuck him entirely. If you want to know more about that, then just Google his racist rant. The TLDR is fuck Eric Clapton's racist ass, though. Anyway, the Cream version was my introduction to the song. It was recorded for their Wheels of Fire album. That album would turn out to be the band's last. Not long after the song released, Cream disbanded due to Eric Clapton's shitty behavior. Clapton went into a full-blown heroin addiction and wouldn't be returning to music after years of terrible addiction and recovery, and also general narcissism. After Clapton got his shit together and started doing music again, of course he would continue to play Crossroads. It was one of Cream's biggest hits, after all. Clapton tried desperately to have children as his career progressed and he started to see more success into the 80s, even trying in vitro fertilization with his wife, Patty Boyd. Clapton was also a serial cheater, and every relationship he was in ended due to his infidelity. He was a pretty shitty husband and boyfriend. He cheated on Patty, ending that relationship, but the woman he cheated on her with got pregnant and Clapton finally had a son. His son was 4 years old when he accidentally fell out of a window of a Manhattan apartment building, killing him.
Wow, that's tragic.
Very tragic. Clapton had no qualms about shamelessly stealing the music from black musicians. On more than one occasion, he espoused racist views about black musicians and taken a "white do it better" stance on music. He hated immigrants and was known to use racial slurs and support extreme right-wing political candidates. In fact, his racist rant in 1976 inspired the Rock Against Racism movement in the UK. It was the shameless artistic theft, racism, and tragedy that befell Clapton's personal life and professional life that led to the belief that Crossroads Blues was a cursed song. And I kind of disagree. I think Clapton was just a piece of shit, and all of this cursed stuff was the result of his own shitty consequences of his own actions. Mm-hmm. Like, well, well, well. If it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
That's my most favorite thing to say to RJ. I'm like, huh, choices, what are those? Yeah.
However, there are others who covered the song Crossroads that also found themselves in the midst of tragedy. The Allman Brothers Band was known to play Crossroads during their live shows. After they worked the song into rotation in 1971, the frontman of the band, Dwayne Allman, was riding his motorcycle in Macon, Georgia. A flatbed truck stopped suddenly in an intersection. Dwayne swerved to miss the truck, but ended up hitting a tow truck with a crane. Dwayne was thrown from the bike and skidded into an intersection. His bike landed on top of him, crushing his internal organs. He was transported to the hospital where he died of his injuries. 13 months later, the bass player for the band died in a similar motorcycle accident just 3 blocks from where Dwayne died. Both of them died in a crossroads.
I was going to say, crossroads much?
Yeah. In 1976, a little band called Lynyrd Skynyrd was preparing to record a live album when they decided to play Crossroads. The live album was released with the song on it, and only 1 year later, Lynyrd Skynyrd would be completely torn apart. They had a private plane called the Freebird, and in 1977, one of the engines failed and the plane went down. 3 band members died, including the founding member, Ronnie Van Zant. The band's manager and both pilots also didn't survive. After that, Lynyrd Skynyrd dissolved. Later, Ronnie Van Zant's family members would come in and fill in the missing pieces.
What do you mean?
Ronnie Van Zant's, I believe his brother, took over as the frontman of the band.
The way that you said that does not in any way, shape, or form indicate what that meant. Oh. Sorry.
I don't know. I think they're a five-piece band, minus 3 pieces, so we filled in the missing pieces. It worked in my brain. Other artists also covered Crossroads in more recent history, like John Mayer, who has some racist rants of his own. And John Mayer's more or less fine, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anything tragic has happened to him that I know of.
He had a serious vocal infection, and I'm pretty sure that happened before he covered Crossroads, though. And he had this like really bad vocal cord infection in 2010 and had to go on a hiatus to recover. He later came out of hiatus to play Eric Clapton's Crossroads Music Festival in 2013. Also, I think Eric Clapton threw this like anti-masker, anti-vax, like music festival for 2020 that was just like against COVID-19 restrictions or something. It was gross and weird.
I didn't even hear about that at all.
Yeah, it was in the UK. The band Rush also covered Crossroads. But nothing especially bad has happened to them, which I'm pretty sure is attributed to the band being full of good dudes that act like professionals.
Yeah.
And don't do, like, fucked up racist shit. But hey, it's Rush. Rush is still a very active band. They still come out with albums. Maybe the Crossroads curse will catch up to them eventually. I hope not, though, because I actually do like Rush a lot as a band. My first laser show was Rush, actually. It was the 2112 laser show at the planetarium.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And now on to our extra spell, brought to you by Dollar Compliments, which is one of my poetry projects. One particular cursed song really stood out to me, and it's titled Gloomy Sunday. But it's also known by its other name, the Hungarian Suicide Song. The original lyrics were titled The World Is Ending, and the song was about the despair created by World War II and the Nazis in Hungary. The lyrics were then retooled by poet Laszlo Javor, to be about a person who commits suicide following their lover's death. The suicide lyrics ended up becoming far more popular. In 1936, the song was translated to English and recorded by jazz singer Hal Kemp. Paul Robeson, a baritone singer, also recorded the song in the same year, but Robeson's lyrics had a different translation. It would be Hal Kemp's version that would be famously recorded by Billie Holiday in 1941. Mm. On Hal Kemp's record, it was famously called the Hungarian Suicide Song, like in parentheses, which later gave rise to rumors that people would commit suicide after hearing it. Press reports indicated that 19 people in Hungary and the U.S. committed suicide with some connection to the song. Hmm. Although almost all the claims lack substantial proof that the song was the cause. More likely, the suicides were associated with wartime stress and the Nazi occupation of Hungary, which, like,
yeah.
In 1968, however, the song's original composer did take his own life. Hmm. The rumors were powerful, though, and the BBC ended up banning the song entirely because they felt it would have a negative effect on wartime morale. The ban would continue to be in place until 2002, when they finally lifted it. In 2002, also notably, the start of the mainstream emo movement, when songs about suicide were all the rage.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, that was 100% my shit in high school. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what unleashed the emo movement, was the BBC lifting the ban on Gloomy Sunday.
Could be, yeah.
Gloomy Sunday. I like the baritone singer's version actually more, like the most. Definitely look it up. It's all on YouTube. You can listen to it. Mm. That Extra Spell was brought to you by Dollar Compliments. In 2016, like a lot of people, I was filled with an existential hopelessness that has aged quite well into 2020. I found that all of my poems were becoming dark and depressing, and I wanted to start a poetry project that was based in positivity and hopefulness. For $3 a month, you will receive a compliment in the mail monthly. The compliment is typed by me on my typewriter, and every compliment is unique and especially for you. You can also subscribe for someone. Just list their name and their mailing address instead of yours. Subscribe by visiting patreon.com/dollarcompliments. And now, back to the crossroads. There is still more to say regarding Robert Johnson and his, quote, deal with the devil. If you're into rock and roll urban legends, your ears may have perked up when I mentioned that Robert Johnson died at the age of 27. Many people believe that Robert Johnson is the founding member of the 27 Club. For some reason, musicians tend to die at age 27, and many people believe that Robert Johnson's Faustian bargain may have something to do with it. Robert Johnson wasn't just some blues man. He may have only recorded 19 songs, but those 19 songs were extremely influential. If you listen to any form of rock and roll or singer-songwriter music, you can thank black musicians like Robert Johnson. They founded the genre and pioneered the sounds that would evolve into your favorite songs. He has also just rippled through the generations with his work, creating a musical domino effect. And here's my hot take. The devil doesn't get any credit for Robert Johnson's hard work and talent. This is a guy who went to the blues club every single day just to get the opportunity to put his hands on a guitar. This is a guy who risked embarrassment playing that guitar in a room full of people without any training at all. This dude spent night after night practicing in a graveyard. While many of Robert Johnson's songs feature the devil as a running motif, like Hellhound on My Trail, Me and the Devil Blues, Up Jump the Devil, and more, that doesn't mean the devil had anything to do with his songs. But being a black man in the 1930s is hard living. And then, you know, throw the musician lifestyle on top of that and the rambling lifestyle. And before he had any blues fame, his wife and son died in childbirth only a year after their marriage. Robert Johnson likely had struggled with depression and absolutely struggled with oppression. from white America and the Jim Crow South. So, yeah, he probably did feel like he had hellhounds on his trail, or that the devil was going to drag him to hell at any moment. The rumors that Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil for blues prowess only served to further demonize black music and black people. The roots of this rumor led to the satanic panic regarding rock and roll music for bands like Black Sabbath, who just leaned into it because they had the privilege to be able to safely lean into it. Rock and roll in the 1960s and 70s had strong anti-war messages and social justice ideals, with a few exceptions like Eric fucking Clapton. Associating rock and roll and black music with the devil is just another excuse to be racist and resist civil rights. That's my hot take.
I don't even know if that's a hot take. That's just kind of how it is. I mean, but that's like a thing is even now people who practice voodoo and Santeria actively, very, very actively get, even if you aren't black, even if you aren't Hispanic, even if you aren't part of these cultures where it comes from, if you practice it, people will tell you it's innately evil. And you can just say, why? And they'll just look at you and you know it's because black people do it, because that's it came from the black people. Can't have that. It's just, I mean, that's just how it is. And also the devil is a lot more fun to think about than just how awful life was for people in the 30s.
Yeah. And like, man, a lot of this like crazy magic stuff happened from the 30s. A lot of our episodes.
We've talked about this though. Yeah. Like, I talked about why. It's because of the spiritualist movement coming up and people being rich in the 1920s, and then of that kind of interacting with immigration from other countries that were not Christian or that had like their own folk magic coming in and converging on America, as well as it being the end of the world happening.
Yeah, the instability.
In between the market crash. Yeah, the two major world wars. I mean, that's how it is. Yeah.
That unpacked, let's talk about the 27 Club. While there are rumors that Robert Johnson is the founding member of the 27 Club as a result of a curse, the first actual member of the 27 Club is Alexandre Levy, a Brazilian composer who pioneered the use of piano in Brazilian folk music. He died in 1892 of unknown circumstances. Of course, the 27 Club wasn't even a thing at that time. It wasn't until Brian Jones, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, and Jimi Hendrix all died between the years of 1969 and 1971 that the rumors surrounding rock stars being dead at the age of 27 started to pick up steam. And when that happened, people were quick to connect the dots to Robert Johnson's death and the rumors of the Faustian bargain. There are, to this day, 75 members of the 27 Club, with Robert Johnson actually being the fourth member. Mm. However, he was the first musician with a connection to rock and roll. The typical cause of death for members of the 27 Club are overdoses and suicide. Mm-hmm. There's also just a handful of murders, a collection of car crashes, and a few plane crashes mixed in there for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
Notable members of the 27 Club I haven't mentioned yet include Kurt Cobain, suicide, Amy Winehouse, alcohol poisoning, Ron Pigpen McKiernan, alcoholism, and the most recent member of the 27 Club, Chicago rapper Frito Santana, mm-hmm. who died of heart disease. And while 75 dead musicians may seem like a lot, 27 being the deadliest age for musicians has been statistically disproven. That doesn't stop it from being a cultural phenomenon, though, with many musicians making reference to the club. One of the spookiest is the late Mac Miller, who had the line, "To everyone who sell me drugs, don't mix it with that bullshit. I'm hoping not to join the 27 Club."
And did he die at 27?
No, he died. He ended up overdosing in 2018 by accident after mixing fentanyl, cocaine, and alcohol.
But how old was he?
26. Mm. Just barely, meaning he would not be joining the 27 Club.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are logical explanations for the 27 Club. While statistics disprove it as being the most common age for musicians to die, in 2011, the British Medical Journal published a study that did show increased mortality rates for celebrities in their late 20s and their 30s. This is attributed to the high risk like rock star lifestyle. In addition, they found that the rock star lifestyle can exacerbate mental health issues like depression. The late 20s are just really fucking hard.
I mean, do you want to say the thing that I know that I told you that you were like, oh, did you know that this was a thing? Do you want to say it?
I actually have a whole section just for that.
We're talking about a Saturn return. I just wanted RJ to admit that maybe it might be right.
Yeah, I mean, 27 and 28 were among the most difficult years of my life. And now I'm 29 and it's 2020 and the world is ending.
Oh, you haven't even hit the parts that are going to get bad yet. You just haven't even gotten there. But no, the other thing I would say is that artists in general, in order to make art, in order to do art, in order to touch emotions, tend to be more mentally unstable or tend to have emotional issues because that's how they can access that information and that stuff. If not, probably every artist would choose to be a CPA or some other fucking thing that would make them really stable and have like a life that they don't care if it's boring. So I would say that, you know, that mixed with you're in alternative lifestyles or with people who live alternative lives, who do drugs and alcohol and have fun. And of course, mental health is going to get worse when you aren't actually fucking treating it. And so like that should just be totally unsurprising for anyone who knows artists or anyone who does any sort of artistic work, that people who are artists tend to have those like mental health and emotional issues. Actually, everyone has them. Everyone has them at certain points in their lives. It just is that people who are artists understand them and can tap into that and are often not taught healthy coping mechanisms to get out of it and or to not parade their trauma across stages, which is what they do. So then they turn to drugs and alcohol, and then that leads to suicide attempts and suicide actual things, as well as rehab and all sorts of issues with drugs and alcohol. So there's that.
And like you said, there is perhaps an astrological explanation for the 27 Club. With the Saturn return, almost everyone in the club was in their Saturn return. So can you like explain a little bit about like that and why it might be killing rock stars?
Well, I don't know if it's killing rock stars so much as the thing that happens that people are unable to face because they don't have the support they need to face it. What happens is that every planet in the astrological system that kind of floats around us have different rates of rotation around the Earth and appear differently. So the Sun obviously has a 365-day, a full year, before it returns back to where it was when you were born. So a lot of people who are into astrology and astrologers call your birthday your solar return, or the time when it goes back to the place that it was when you were born. The Moon obviously cycles at a much different. It cycles in 30 days, but actually it moves through each – or 28 days. It moves through each sign at a rate of 2.5 days per sign. So the Moon sign will change a lot more because it's a lot closer and it's a lot smaller of a planet. So there are things called outer planets, which are Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter, which are generational planets, where people who are born inside of a certain generation or people who are born in certain years will have that. So Saturn's rotation around the Earth is 2.5 years long. It takes 27 years about for the planet to go back into the sign at which you were born in. So what do I mean by that? And with the sign is that that would be like Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, blah, 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 like as you go through them. It takes 27 years for Saturn to return. Saturn is the planet of structures and basically organization within your life. So a Saturn return happens when Saturn meets the planet or the sign that it was in when you were born. What that looks like is a complete restructuring of the way that you understand life. If you've ever heard of a quarter life crisis or half or a midlife crisis, those are 27-year increments and they refer to your Saturn return. So that's when people do all sorts of really fun, stupid shit, like buying the Mustang, like quitting their job. If you've ever seen the movie American Beauty with Kevin Spacey, he is absolutely like hip deep in his Saturn return in that movie. That's a great example of what that can look like for people. A lot of people will say things like, oh yeah, I got married twice and both were in my Saturn return and neither of them lasted. And that kind of stuff is what you decide is basically just restructuring the way that your life works. So we just barely hit a period. I think December 16th was the time that Saturn moved back into Aquarius, which means if you're born and you'd want to check the dates, 19 1991, 1992, and 1993, you are just hitting your Saturn return. Welcome. Life gets a lot harder now. So basically what can happen there is that people are unable to face the structural changes that happen. And sometimes souls decide it's easier to go into the next plane and try again or try a different life, or that they're just unable to handle the challenges that are brought forward, which is nothing to be ashamed of and nothing that we should judge people on. It's just a natural choice that a soul makes with its body to do whatever it's going to do. So when we look at Saturn returns, it's not, I am not a fan of demonizing planets, demonizing tarot cards, demonizing any of these things. They're all helping tools, and it just depends on your attitude and how you face them for what happens with them. So the Saturn return stuff, you know, can be, if you don't have a lot of stability, if you don't have a really solid foundation that you're building, if you don't have a solid structure to build on, you're going to have a really hard time figuring out what you're leaving and what you're going to. And if you're unaware of a Saturn return, you're going to be knocked on your ass because you don't know what's happening because you've hit your quarter life crisis. So, yeah, that's kind of the thing.
Well, 1991, that's me.
I'm also hitting my Saturn return. I was born in 1993, so, you know.
Well, maybe the 27 Club is more like the Saturn Squad.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if that hits the same, though.
Well, something that's interesting is, so we've all heard of Mercury retrograde, I'm sure. Retrograde is what it's called when a planet, when you look in the sky and the planet looks as though it is moving backwards through the signs. Planets don't actually move reverse. They continue in their regular rotation. But the from where we're looking and how the planets look in the sky, it looks like they go backwards. So actually, earlier this year, we were in Saturn and moved into Aquarius, and then it retrograded back out of Aquarius and into Capricorn, went back through Capricorn, back into Aquarius. When a planet retrogrades, it goes in between 2 degrees. When it hits a degree that it's done retrograding, it moves all the way back through. So Saturn returns, or Saturn retrogrades, I think take like 6 months in order to complete, to move into the new phase. So there are things like that that happen, that you could be born with a natal Saturn in Capricorn because it's retrograding in Capricorn at the time that you're born, versus, so you could be born in that and still be the same age as us, which is why I would encourage you to look at your chart if you're curious about that. Or if you want to pay me to look at your chart, I can do that too. But you can just look it up online. There's a website called cafeastrology.com. You can look up your whole natal chart. You can look into it. You can do some research, and it's interesting and weird and fascinating and might tell you whether or not you'll die at 27. Who knows?
And that concludes our episode on Rhapsodomancy. We have just one thing left to do. Shufflemancy. Shufflemancy is a form of Rhapsodomancy that's combined with Cybermancy. This method of divination started as a trend in the mid-2000s when the iPod reached its peak in popularity, and the iPod Shuffle became a pretty common device to find in teenagers' pockets. You'd load up a playlist, ask a question, and just smash that skip button when the player was set to shuffle so that it would be random. The song you'd land on would contain the answer to your question. The diviner can do the reading based on the lyrics, the title of the song, or the general tone and feeling of the song. And of course, where did I find out all this stuff about Shufflemancy? Tumblr. Just ancient Tumblrs from years past of people explaining how they did Shufflemancy. So Thanks, The Daily Diviner on Tumblr, for explaining how to do a Shufflemancy reading.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to queue up these playlists. We'll announce the name. And then the question is just, how's 2021 going to be? And you just get a little, like, squirt of a reading. All right, let's do some Shufflemancy. This is going to be a whole bunch of flash readings, so I will announce who it's for and what song the shuffler landed on. First up, we have Lid. All right, Lid, here's your Spotify playlist. I'm going to play it for L on shuffle. Let's pound that shuffle button. 5 times. Skip to a random spot in the song. The song is Little's Theme, Nicholas Britell.
So what I'm feeling is a lot of reflection. Like, I feel like 2021 is going to be a year kind of where you think back and look at a lot of the things that have happened, kind of when we need that time to really just consider all of the crazy things. So it just feels like a lot of time for reflection. I don't necessarily feel like you have many more challenges or that there's going to be a lot more stuff that's, you know, overly devastating or really hard to handle. It just feels more like this year of reconciliation, of figuring out the things that have happened, figuring out where you want to be and where you want to go. I think this year is going to be a big year for you to really pause, take some really, really deep breaths, and make some really awesome plans for the future. So definitely understand that your reflection and the processing time is a big part of how things are going to go for many years after this one. So utilizing that time as a way to mourn, process, and then make new plans.
That was a short song, too. That was only a minute long song. All right. Next up, we have Jeffrey, who is a, I believe, a music PhD student. So this playlist is going to be very exciting. I know he would play a lot at the open mic I used to host.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's like some sort of fingerpick guitar champion or something.
He's really talented.
And he busks almost every single day in downtown Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So skip to one shuffle button. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the song Slow Violence by Caligula's Horse. What a great band name. Let's skip to a random spot. There we go.
So I think for you, this year feels like it has a lot of movement. It feels like there's a lot of... Yeah, I think movement is the only way that I can really describe it. It feels like there's going to be a lot of moments of triumph and a lot of moments of not so triumphant stuff, but it feels like a lot of stuff falling away and more stuff accumulating for the future. So this is going to be a big year of transition, of changing, of a lot of shuffling going on, but I just have this underlying sense of you feeling very empowered. So I don't feel like this is going to be a year where changes or transitions or choices are made for you. This feels like a time where you're going to really feel empowered to move through things. I definitely feel like there's some big breakthroughs coming in your education. If you've been kind of waiting, I know PhD students struggle to get through to get graduated. And I feel like this is going to be a really solid year where you're going to see some good movement in your education and where you'll be kind of positioning and pivoting yourself towards something more successful. So this is going to be a really good year of just pushing through stuff. And if you can keep that kind of determination, that empowerment behind everything that you do, I think you'll end up into some really end up in some really interesting and fun places that offer you a lot of opportunities.
All right. That was for Jeffrey. Next, we have Lydia. All right. Play. Shuffle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then a random spot in the song. This is the song Mad Woman by Taylor Swift.
Yeah, so I think it's really important that you kind of work on getting a good grasp on motivations for yourself and really figure out the things that you want to focus on. Can you not play it the whole time or just turn it down? It's super distracting. Especially, yeah. Okay, good.
So let me know when you want me to pause it.
Okay. So really focusing on... I think mental health is going to be a big one for you this year. It just feels like there's been so many things that have been out of control for you for so long that it's going to be a really important thing for you to get a handle on your own stuff and figuring out what you're really focused on. It just feels like you've allowed a lot of people to take power away from you. You've allowed them to like hold this control over you instead of really being empowered and moving through things. And I want to say that anger is a really, really powerful emotion if you use it constructively. Just being angry at people and just kind of sprouting your anger because you want other people to feel pain is not effective. But utilizing your anger to say, no, this is what I'm doing and I'm being empowered and I'm making my own the choices is a really effective way to use that. So really watch your temper, really watch your mental health, and start letting yourself be in a better position to take back control over the things that have been taken from you. And that should be, I think that's a good focus for you for 2021. So I don't necessarily know that it's going to be an easy year, but it feels like if you use it constructively, it can be a really good year to build a foundation off of.
Okay. Next is glory. I'm going to go ahead and play, shuffle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go to a random spot. At Last, The Celestial Being Speaks by the band Quiet Company.
Yeah, so the lyric that literally came through is, don't worry about death, you'll be just fine, or you'll all be just fine. And so it feels like there's been a lot of, like, you've kind of been haunted or taunted by the idea of, like, eventual death, or feeling like there's eventually going to be an end to everything or to something. And you've really kind of been haunted and running away from those things, or feeling like, if it can't catch me, it can't end. And that's really not a constructive use of your time. Everything will come to an end eventually. When you are the one that really directs that and really grows into a place of accepting the changes that come, and then understand that the end of something means beginning of something else, that gives you a really good space to work from. So this feels like a big year of really facing the things that you've kind of been running away from, or the things that you're like trying to avoid or trying to dodge around, and those things coming to light, and then you saying, oh, this wasn't as bad as I thought it was, and then continuing to build on. So if there's been some goodbyes, you know, you've been needing to say, if there's been some things that you know that you need to extract yourself from, go ahead and do that at the beginning of the year so you can be open up for the rest of the opportunities throughout the rest of the year.
Okay. Next is Anna. Go ahead and shuffle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the song Fuck the Government, I Love You by The Burning Hell.
So I feel like this... Go ahead and pause it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing for you is, one, we got to work on your communication. There's literally, the lyric that we landed on was three statements all overheard in a room, but I wasn't sure which one came from you. So I passed the wine, said, yes, fuck the government, and I love you too. And so it feels like we need to work on our communication and getting things a little bit more cleared out. It also feels like your emotions, your personal emotions, are very confused about stuff. So you as well need to take some time to process, to really sort through things and figure out where you're putting your energy. It just feels like you're so torn between different ideas, different approaches, different ways of handling things, that you're not able to effectively communicate because you don't know what the fuck is going on. So it's time to take a little bit of a step back and figure out more of what you're feeling, and really sort through those emotions, and come at that from a more empowered place. I do have to say, the song is really fun and there's a lot of enthusiasm. So I don't think it's going to be a bad year, and I don't mean that as a call out. I just mean it as like, get your shit sorted and then move forward and have fun and have that enthusiasm of like, you know what? I don't really know what's going on, but I brought you some wine and fuck the government and I love you and let's call it good and keep going. So use that energy to kind of pull you through the year. When you sort through things, go into anything you do with enthusiasm and excitement, and I think you'll be just fine.
Next up is Allie. I'm going to go ahead and hit play. Shuffle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is Paparazzi by Lady Gaga.
Okay, so what's really interesting is that I actually landed on the part where she says paparazzi. And this is super weird, but I feel like it's actually reminding me of like calling Dom's daddy or calling them Papa kind of as a joke. I have a friend who does that and they're like, you can call me Papa, which I just think is really cute. So I actually think this year is more about you being in your empowerment, in your power, and moving through things and being kind of the focus. And like, a lot of eyes are going to be on you, but only because they want to support you and they want to see you do some really incredible things. So it's really important to kind of take that power and be like, yes, I am the best one in the room. Please recognize me, and then move around with the most confidence you you can. I think it's going to be a really incredible year for you, where you kind of break through some boundaries, where you break down patterns, where you're just really able to effectively move through things and navigate things in a way that you haven't been able to do in a long time. So definitely utilize that power and start the year with a bang and end it with a bang.
All right, next up we have Robin with an R.
Is there another way to spell Robin?
Oh, well, we've got somebody else called Wobbin with a W.
Wobbin, okay.
Cool. So this is Robin. And shuffle. 2, 3, 4, 5. This is Here You Come Again by Dolly Parton.
Okay, so I feel like this year is going to have some pretty incredible love for you and love stuff going on. And that there's just going to be a lot of moments of infatuation and some really beautiful, fun butterfly moments. And I think that you're going to have, if you're not actively in a relationship right now, or if you're trying to leave a relationship right now, I feel like in about 3 months, there's about to be someone new kind of coming in that's going to sweep you off your feet for a bit. And just kind of be excited for that. Don't lose your sense of identity and enjoy it.
I got really distracted by looking at this playlist. It's just full of like classic rock and like old school hip hop and stuff. Mm. All right, next we have Comet.
Yay.
All right. Pause, shuffle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Things That Make It Warm by Cave Town. And let's go to a random spot.
Oh, I love this song. So I would say that a lot of the next year is just going to be really peaceful and easy and calm. There's a lot of comfort. There's a lot of just like the sense of knowing that where you are is where you're supposed to be, knowing that you're doing the right things, knowing that, you know, even if things aren't perfect, you're actively working towards that. And there's finding some peace, finding some calm. I feel like you're hitting a turning point or a pivot with a lot of mental health stuff, with job stuff, with just general comfort in your life. It just feels like a lot of those things are going to get a lot easier and be a lot more settled in the next year. And I also feel like there's just a really lovely relationship that you're able to indulge in and just kind of find happiness and peace in. So I like that.
All right. Next, we have my favorite poetry coach, Chris.
Yay.
And I actually really enjoy Chris's taste in music, so we'll see what we got here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then random spot. This is Goods by Mates of State.
So I feel like what's really interesting is that maybe the lyrics and the music of that song didn't really match each other. So the song was like really slow and even and like just kind of easy listening. And then the lyrics were like, we don't want that money. We're going to last all day. We're going to keep going. And so I feel like you have this kind of interesting internal or maybe mental pivoting and changing. So I feel like basic things in your life are not really going to be different, but there's a lot of stuff that's changing inside of you, and there's a lot of adjustments that you're making and a lot of this kind of inspiration and growth that you're going through over the next year. And I feel like 2021 is going to be one of those years where it doesn't seem like anything happens, and then you look back at the end of the year and you're like, oh my god, everything changed. So keep your positivity, keep your enthusiasm, go at things kind of with that idea of, even if things aren't changing externally or around me, they're still changing and I can affect things. This is a big year for you taking back your power and really feeling in charge of your own life. So utilize that and push forward with it.
All right. Next we have Jason. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is Heaven's Light by Michael Arden, which I think it might be from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. There's a random spot.
Okay. So the lyric that stood out to me is, suddenly an angel has touched my face without an ounce of fright, I think is the lyric. So I actually feel like this is going to be a big year of really, I think, moving into your spirituality or advancing your spirituality. I don't feel like, okay, now we need to go back to church or we need to really invest in religion. It just feels like a really good year where you're growing your spirituality and you're feeling more in tune with the universe and feeling a little bit more supported by things. Kind of like, you know, when everything is going right and you're like, I have a guardian angel that's taking care of me right now, that kind of a thing. But really you understanding the co-creation process of that and you feeling a little bit more in tune with the cosmic things around you and kind of gaining that knowledge and that education of how you can do that effectively. So I think it's going to be a big year in your spiritual growth.
Nope, this one's going to take me a minute to queue up because I hit the... Did you know Spotify has a tab limit? Like, you can only have so many Spotify tabs open before it yells at you. It says, well, 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 you found the tab limit. All right, this is for Wobbin with a W.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is Sunlight by Hozier. And this is our random spot.
Okay, so we landed on the part of the song where the only thing that gets said is sunlight so many times. So I feel like, so the sun in the tarot card, when we look at the sun, is a masculine force. We also live our lives by the sun because we're part of Earth, and the Earth lives its life by the sun as well. The sun in the tarot cards talks about illumination, joy, childlike wonder. So I feel like, and I actually feel like this is the more kind of ominous part of sunlight, which means that things can't hide from you anymore. So this is going to be a big year of discovery. I feel like there's some big discoveries happening in your personal life, or maybe around some family stuff. Kind of, you know, how every family has those little secrets and you're like, what is really going on here? And having some revelations about that. And I think that's going to, not necessarily in a negative way, but how that kind of shakes your identity or changes your identity. I feel like this is going to be a big year of you uncovering things that are true about you, but you maybe didn't understand, and true about your family that you didn't understand, and moving into those truths and really integrating them with who you are.
Okay, this next one is for Christopher.
Christopher! I love Christopher.
All right, I'm gonna start the playlist. Shuffle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We landed on Tomorrow's Dust by Tame Impala.
What a fucking Australian name, Christopher. Can you look up the lyrics for me on that one?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anything about sunlight in there too.
No.
Okay. What starts with an S? Like three quarters of the way down.
Sympathy for the fauna, fragile life in the sauna, in the sea getting warmer, endlessly round the corner.
Ah, okay. I was like, I thought it said sauna, but I couldn't tell. So I would say a lot of that. First of all, I really like this song because I feel like it's really chill. It's very relaxed. It feels like there's plenty of time. It doesn't feel like you have to rush or to be anywhere. It just feels like really taking things in. When it's talking about kind of the little things in life, I think that as we've kind of been talking about in our readings, becoming more integrated with just kind of the world around you and understanding co-creation processes and understanding how you can and will impact things around you and really getting more in tune with that. I feel like this is going to be a big year of you unlocking your magic. I'm really hearing and seeing and feeling green witchcraft being a big thing for you this year, which is kind of where you grow plants and using plants and animals around you in nature and getting really in tune with that. And I feel like that's something that you've really been missing, but you maybe don't understand that you've been missing. So I want to highly encourage you to dig into some Wicca, into some green witchcraft, and just, you know, go that little step further into your magic and use this year to really focus on that, which I don't think will be a hard thing for you to do.
And that is all the Shufflemancy readings for y'all's 2021.
Yay!
Hopefully that helps you. But who knows? I've just enjoyed everybody's playlists. So now I have the links to them and I'm going to listen to them. Hit us up on Patreon and Elle will do a reading for you on the show using whatever divination method we're covering. Patreon.com/Mancy. And if you like the show, please share it with your friends. The more people we have listening to the show, the easier it is for us to get sponsors to, you know, help us make more of the show and the more episodes we can make. If you like my writing, you can pick up books at rjwalkerpoet.com.
If you're interested in getting a reading from me, you can find me on my Etsy shop, which is Laurels of Lux. You can also find me at my Twitter, which is at Laurels of Lux. Yeah, come talk to me about readings. Come stop by for the daily readings that may or may not be happening currently, but hopefully will be happening. And let me know if you need anything from me.
The music was provided by, in order of appearance, Hayden Folker, Arthi Vinka, Miyu, and Scott Buckley.